Nerd Soul.
Yeah, late ill kid at one youngster holding it down, bringing in street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, oh yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of That's Right. We are here with Thumbnails. We talk about animated series. And there's a new trailer that dropped from CBS All Access called Star Trek Lower Decks. And when I saw it, I figured there was only one or two people I could talk to. In this case, we've got Robert K. Jeffrey. Say what's up.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? To all my fellow Trekkies and Trekkers and everybody in between.
What up? As you can see in his background, you know what I'm saying? He has his proof. All right, so I'll start this off by saying, Star Trek is a franchise that I have been saying needs an animated series for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I'll start by saying that. I think they have needed an animated series, and I know they had the Star Trek animation or whatever. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about something new, updated, just like Star Wars does, Rebels or Clone Wars or anything like that. So I've been waiting for them to put out an animated series for a minute. And when I saw this trailer, I was like, oh, we got an animated series coming. All right, what we got? Since you are the guest, after seeing the trailer, how are you feeling about it?
So let me start off by saying this. I'm glad that you took a day rather than hopping on immediately to talk about this, because I've seen a lot of people giving their immediate thoughts on this instead of letting it kind of percolate. And that's what I felt I needed as a fan of this franchise. I got mixed feelings. You know, that's just all I'll say. You know, trailers are meant to be partly, you know, things that get you hyped or give you some idea or of the vibe of the show, the plot, like what's going to happen. And just as somebody watching a trailer for a new show, I have mixed feelings. So I am definitely going to keep an open mind. I've always been one of those, I consider myself to be the type that doesn't just immediately shut stuff down, you know, from the first look, especially when it's a franchise that I'm very invested in, you know, as far as Star Trek. So, and I'm like you, I feel that Star Trek lends itself perfectly to having, you know, to possibly having an animated series. If looking at something, as far as an example, something like Voltron is essentially like a big space opera. And that was a series that handled a well-known franchise, but the Netflix Voltron series but you had humor and you still had the action and sci-fi elements of the story. So when
it was done in a very Korra type way or Avatar type way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not necessarily, you know, saying that it has to follow that same animation aesthetic or that style, but the tone was something that I felt that they, you know, Star Trek could have, you know, an animated series could have lent itself to. The other part of that, though, is that it was announced a couple of months back or a few months back that there is going to be another Star Trek animated series on Nickelodeon. So that might be the one that I want. And if you want, I can go into specifics as to why I'm kind of mixed about this.
I'll throw my thoughts, my initial thoughts. Initial thoughts were like, cool. Well, all right. I don't mind the animation style because it lends itself sort of to kind of like Rick and Morty. And I like Rick and Morty. It's very Rick and Morty-ish. So I like that animation style. But I don't think Rick and Morty, and I know I am not the decider. I have not seen every episode of Star Trek. My mom forced me to watch New Generation or Next Generation when I was little. I didn't really like it until I grew up a little bit and I started seeing the bodysuits. And then and then Deep Space Nine is my jam. But outside of that, I really haven't seen nothing except Discovery. I've seen all of Discovery and Picard. And the movies. I've seen all of the movies, the old movies and the new movies. So I'm not the super, I'm more of a like, just kind of like general fan. Like I enjoy it, I think it's cool, but I'm not gonna be able to tell you what happened in episode two of this series. No, I'm not that invested. I know Star Wars sort of like that, and I still can't do it with that. But with that said, I don't think Rick and Morty is the style for Star Trek. That's what I think is kind of like button heads with me. I like the animation style. And the comedy is cool. There's some times when I kind of cringe or roll my eyes. And then there's some times where I'm like, actually like, that was funny. But I don't think Rick and Morty's style gels with Star Trek. In my mind, what I had always thought of when it comes to an animated Star Trek show, minus the big robots, is something like Gundam Wing, Gundam Seed, something like that, where it's very kind of political, you get your action in there, but more on the serious side. This has kind of like, what's that TBS joint? The TBS space animated comedy joint. It has that kind of vibe to it too. I can't think of the name of it. And that's kind of all right too. I mean, I'm not waiting for that to come out, but I can watch it passively and be like, oh, this is all right. So I think it's the fact that I don't think the style of comedy and animation fits in the world of Star Trek, especially due to a franchise that has, what, like 15 movies or something like that? Something like 15 movies and like 7 series or something like that. We've never had that kind of comedy because I don't think that kind of comedy fits. Not saying that you can't do comedy in Star Trek. The only thing is you have to step your game up because Galaxy Quest exists. And now also the show Oracle exists. What is it on Fox, I think?
It's on Fox, but then when they come back, it's going to be on Hulu.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, basically, since those exist, you got to kind of step your game up. And the Rick and Morty approach is it for me, but I don't hate it. I'm kind of like, it's sort of what I wanted and then also not what I wanted. So I'll see. But back to you. Go ahead.
First of all, I just noticed what your shirt said. That is the most awesome thing on the face of the
earth.
I was like, oh God, it's Icon Hardware. So then I was like rocking in Static Hell or something. When it comes to the, it's funny because I'm doing a rewatch of Voyager. It seems like every year I do like a rewatch of some Trek show, if not a couple of them. I mix them in. So looking at that and, you know, thinking about previous Treks before, humor has sometimes been a part of the story. You know, you can think about Data's interactions with, you know, the crew of the Enterprise. You could even think of like Bones and Spock going at it, or Deep Space Nine. You know, Quark. There's some humor to be found. And the Orville is the closest thing humor wise that I think of when it comes to Star Trek. I consider Galaxy Quest and the Orville to be unofficial Trek series. That's just my nerdy thing. But within the core series, even if it's an animated series, I never expected these series to go like a comedic route, because when you give like this, let's say you classify this on CBS All Access, first and foremost, it's going to say comedy. And when I think of Star Trek, it's just something I have to wrap my head around. I'm not saying that it's bad. It's just something where, and especially the Rick and Morty aesthetic, because I like Rick and Morty. The few times that I watch it, I haven't watched like the seasons all the way through. I kind of come back and forth to it. That is kind of that raunchy, over-the-top humor, but it still has its love of the science fiction realm, like, all throughout that, all throughout the series.
And that's what fun. They kind of lampoon and poke their fun at sci-fi.
But still, loving, you know, and I think that's what the Orville does. The Orville is not like a straight lampoon of Star Trek. It's just something where it takes more of a, I mean, they actually have some really kind of poignant episodes on that series, in the, you know, mixed with, you know, the humor. But when it came to watching this trailer, I'm not used to seeing, you know, the graphic type of humor where, I mean, I'm used to it with Rick and Morty, but I'm not used to people ripping out hearts in the middle of sick bay, or I'm not used to, like, blood flying everywhere, you know, when it comes to Star Trek. And they've had, like, you know, gory episodes, so there was a bit of stuff that kind of took me aback. but on the other side of that, I like that we, in this one, are looking at the characters of the Lower Decks. All of these side characters, because only in Star Trek The Next Generation, and there might be more episodes, but they will always do like a one-off episode that focuses on people who aren't the main cast or the main crew, the bridge crew. So that part of it I'm really liking. I like the fact that it looks like they're extending the canon further, like after The Next Generation and, you know, within that time frame. I like the fact that we have two women of color, you know, doing the voices. Dawn Lewis, who was, she was on A Different World, she's doing the voice of the captain. And the main character is, and I don't know her name, but she's a woman of color. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy that they're trying something different.
It's definitely different.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I've always tried to tell Trek fans, is that this generation, you have a generation of fans who are not, who have grown up with Trek, yet their creative kind of focus is not going to always be the episodic television that you grew up loving, or the sometimes very slow paced, you know, movies that you grew up loving. And kind of the last part of why I think this might work is that I showed the trailer to my wife, who she likes the Abrams first Trek movies. She likes Discovery, and she, you know, she likes Picard. She's not a huge Trekkie, but those things she likes. Whenever I try to show her any of the older stuff, it's not for her. But when I showed her this trailer, she was laughing. So I think that in addition to trying to do something for the Star Trek fans, CBS All Access is still trying to appeal to an audience that wants this type of humor, you know, but still within the aesthetic of Star Trek. So that's kind of like the pluses and the minuses, you know, not even minuses, it's just stuff's not jiving with me. I purposely actually stayed away from reading the comments on videos like this.
I didn't even read the comments.
No, and I don't want to, because, you know, versus people don't provide constructive criticism. You, like, you can either say you like it or you don't, but people go into this vitriol of, this is the end of the Star Trek universe. I don't think
it's the end. I have a friend that goes to a lot of Star Trek conventions, well, of course, because of COVID, but, you know, used to. And he was talking about how people had been complaining that there's not a lot of like younger fans. And I'm like, well, it's because they haven't done an animated series like I've been saying they should do for years and years and years. But this lends itself to more of an adult, you know what I'm saying, style. I would have done something more in the vein of, like, you know, Star Trek Cadets or something like that. Showing them kind of growing this, like, you meet them in their last year of cadetting. All of my military people out there, holla at me. But you meet them in their last year of cadet, so that, you know, you got that kind of, like, young adult teenage thing, so younger kids can see this, like, oh, this is kind of like my older brother, or this is what I'll be like in a few years. And then have them kind of going into their first missions. You know, maybe they split up, they're on different ships, and you can follow a different ship each, you know, season or something like that. And you can have something cool that's more in the line of something like Knights of Cydonia or Gundam Seed, something where it's, you've got some comedy there, but it's definitely more focused on, like the other anime, I mean, like the other series, a little more serious in its approach. When I saw this, I was like, yeah, I've been asking for an anime series, but kids can't watch this. I'm pretty sure
they did
the naked joke in the trailer. I'm like, they're not, this is not for kids. I was like, not for kids. This ain't for kids.
So the other kind of part of that is that, you know, I think we'll come back around to this when that Nickelodeon Star Trek show pops up, because, you know, Nickelodeon signed a deal with Netflix kind of a while back. So I don't know if that's going to be a Netflix exclusive or if it's going to be on Nickelodeon. But when I think of the animation that has hit really well within the past few years, which is kind of along the lines of like action, adventure, you have the Dragon Prince, you have Voltron, you have you know, Legend of Korra, and then Avatar the Last Airbender, and there's a lot on Netflix just alone that you can find, and but you know, two out of three of those series have some connection to Nickelodeon, because even the team that was on Voltron had gone back to like the Legend of Korra staff. So the point that I'm making, and even something like Cannon Busters, you know, which is more anime centric. So we have
to Lee Sean Thomas.
Exactly, Sean, yeah, shout out. So the point that I'm making is that you have examples within the past decade or plus where that aesthetic of kind of what you're suggesting and what I'm kind of, you know, touching on is the whole thing of, we have Western based series which aren't just comedic in nature, you know, they are those action adventure shows, and that's what I'm hoping that the Nickelodeon show will be. And this is just but this is, for me, it's weird, it's just strange to lead with this instead of saying, you know, let's kind of do, you know, and then we can have ideas all day. You know, we can, as fans, we can have ideas about, should it be focused on cadets? Should it be focused on an actual another crew? You know, should it, you know, this or that? The reason I always keep going back to Voltron is that for me, for a while, there have been no American-based cartoons, which, and even with Voltron, I know that that was animated, I think, in South Korea by a South Korean
For
the most part. So but the writing, the storytelling, you know, as far as the scripts or whatever, that was that was basically an American writing team and directors and all that. So that's what I wanted, you know, for something like Star Trek. So Voltron was basically my template for if a Star Trek cartoon was made now.
I'm not particularly mad at it. It looks good, like the production level and stuff, it looks good. It's just that I don't know if it fits. I'm willing to give it a couple of episodes, see what happens, but it definitely threw me off. Like when they opened up with the joke, with the Captain's Log joke, I was like, oh, this is where we're going? I don't know. But then there's some parts of the trailer where I actually laughed. But like the blast shield joke, I was just like, I was like, is it? But then there was some stuff where I thought it was funny. Like, so I'm on board enough. But I did have in mind something that I could watch kind of with my kid, or, you know, like I could watch Voltron with my kid. Or like right now, I'm rewatching Avatar with the little guy. We just got the Ba Sing Se. But something like that. This is definitely for the adults. I wouldn't sit a kid in front of this.
It looks like
some of the jokes are probably going to slide on the raunchy side.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you have parents that, you know, they completely ignore the ratings for these things, and they, you know, they show the children.
It's a cartoon. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's so it's like, it's cute. Morty is drooling green stuff out of his mouth. So there's, because people don't take the, sometimes just see cartoons as being cartoons, and this is like, no, that's not it. The other kind of part of this is that between Discovery and Picard, they've definitely done stuff that, you know, other Trek shows or movies haven't. You know, you have the cursing, you have, especially in Picard, there was some violent stuff in there. And it wasn't, but it was never enough that it took me out of what, you know, Trek. You know,
so it was never something like The Boys or something like that.
Exactly. You know, just something like that.
I think a little too much, but that's a whole other thing.
I mean, well, that's Garth Ennis. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of those things where I purposely could not read that comic book because I had hit my fill of guts being strewn about in comic books. Like, that's, you know, I don't have a desire to see that right now. but it worked out. But, you know, and for the TV show. So, yeah, it was, like I said, there was stuff that was just, it was like, okay, this is where we're going. And I didn't tap out. You know, like I said, I will always give a Trek show a chance, you know, and not completely just kind of shut it down. But there are those people who just do, you know, they just do that. And if it's not for me, then, you know, I can take a break from that and still appreciate the fact that right now there are going to be like four or five other Trek shows on TV.
which is a good thing, similar to. Yep. You know, similar to Star Wars, where you can have your own part and be fine with it. Yeah. Like, for instance, I think I may have watched two episodes of the newer animated series where they're like pirates or whatever. Resistance. I watched like two episodes. I was just like, not for me. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like digging it.
Love it.
So. Yeah. I can still be like, yo, Clone Wars and a good portion of Rebels is something I'm down with. But Resistance, I'm like, eh. But then like those YouTube shorts I thought were cool. Forces of Destiny was up and down for me.
Yeah.
Because it played with the canon a little bit where I was like, ah. but see, once again, I'm not like that with Star Trek. So I can look at something on Star Trek and just be like looking at Discovery and be like, yo, this is dope.
Yeah,
and somebody would be like, they didn't do that in Voyager or something. Be like,
I mean, we'll see. And that's,
I'll be like,
that's
I don't know.
that's where I try to avoid having those types of conversations because no Trek show is perfect. I don't care. Like Next Generation, that first season wasn't the best. Deep Space Nine had its, you know, Deep Space Nine had, they went to an Africa planet. I'm sorry, on the Next Generation, and even the guy who played Riker said that was offensive as heck. Every Trek show,
I never knew about that.
Yeah,
Africa planet.
It was, man, whatever. And then Tasha Yar got into a whatever.
I have to search for that episode.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. But every Trek show is not perfect, and you definitely have varying. You know, some are obviously way better than the others. It's just one of those things when it comes to Star Wars, y'all at least have a variety of stuff to choose from. Before, like two or three years ago, Trek was like, we would do just like one thing every few years until there was one year back in the early 90s where everything was doubling up. So one of the reasons I even think that they have that new Christopher Pike show is because the fans love him.
He's getting a Pike show.
Yeah, he's getting a show, but I think part of that was because, you know, those actors are really good. Their characters popped really well. But then the fandom was so loud about the whole thing of like, you know, we're not exploring in Discovery. And then they gave them that. So there are all of these varieties of offshoots that.
Yeah, but it's weird when they go to the exploring, because even from what I remember from Next Generation, and even it's been a while since I rewatched Deep Space Nine, I don't really remember like heavy exploration. Like,
I mean,
I don't remember like archaeologists like, oh, let's, we've discovered something. I don't remember that. Maybe it's because all I remember is phasers on stun. And,
yeah. I mean,
maybe that's all I remember.
I think it's more of the trekking aspect, you know, kind of getting out there and actually, you know, that whole thing, because they have the same complaints about Deep Space Nine, but it's just like, you got to realize that entire universe is not just focused on trekking. You have different aspects that, you know, that you can look into. One of the greatest concepts with Voyager is that they were tossed halfway across the universe and they have to get back home. Albeit there were, I still feel that there are problems with the show and they didn't take a full grasp of that concept, because everything just seemed so easy, you know, for them, but it was still something different, you know, it was still something different. And I think that, you know, with this animated series with Lower Decks, they're going to be exploring, but it's just going to be, you know, in a kind of comical type of fashion. But I keep saying this is that if this doesn't work for you, you have another animated series coming down the line on Nickelodeon.
And you have Picard, Discovery, and the Pike show coming.
Section 31.
Oh, Section 31. 31. Now that's a show.
Yeah. That's a show. And Pike. So that's the thing. So there's a variety of stuff.
Section 31, I was like, yeah. And shouts to Michelle Yeoh, because she should have been getting her props years and years and years ago. But like, yeah, that Discovery, when I saw the first episode of Discovery, I was like, oh, y'all ain't playing. Like, y'all spending some money on this. Like, y'all are, I still don't think it should be behind a paywall, but I'm digging everybody on the crew. I'm feeling the story. And they were trying to explore, but in the first episode, you know, things got messed up and they started a war on accident.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, what's this? Should we go over there? Don't go over there. We're going over there.
Yeah, Burnham, Burnham, I don't want to say Burnham messed it up, but Burnham did what Burnham did, so.
Yeah, Burnham does what Burnham does.
I mean, yeah, there's, and even with the paywall thing, with the way that network television is canceling any genre shows, I'm actually happy that they possibly have the cushion of the paywall, because it's like, hit a certain...
I see what you mean that.
If you don't hit a certain set of numbers, you know, it seems like it's gone. Like if the sci-fi channel can't keep sci-fi TV shows on, that's a big concern for me. I'm sorry. Like, you know, shade thrown to sci-fi. Rest in peace, Vagrant Queen. Rest in peace, The Expanse. You know, so it seems like the only places that actually appreciate these types of shows are behind a paywall.
I'll give you that. Even though I couldn't get through like 20 minutes of Vagrant Queen.
Yeah.
Like I understand. I understand. Mm-hmm. Like now what you, I get it.
Think about it like that. Yeah. Because even Amazon picked up The Expanse because they appreciated the show. They appreciated the quality. I mean, sci-fi at a certain point might just turn into geek reality TV.
And just reruns and then, or something.
And Sharknado 500. So, I don't know.
With that said, before we get out of here, Robert, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, y'all can find my Star Trek loving self at robertkjeffrey.com. That's robertkjeffrey.com. I got books on there, but also you can find my social media handles there too.
Word up, and NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube is the hub. Hit that subscribe, hit that like button. If you hit that dislike button, then I'm going to have to send Section 31 after you.
Exactly. And
you ain't going to like
disappear you.
I got podcasts for you if you like to listen, or Spotify for that music. Also, do not forget, right here, I said it probably first, but I'll continue to say it. Free mind to avenge. Free mind to avenge. Free mind to avenge. It's not yours. Give it up. Free mind to avenge. So, with that said, we love all y'all. From us to you, peace.
Live long and prosper.